down those cards. It is a blasphemy. They tell nothing to those who cannot see.
Oh, but they do. That's a bit of luck. Good luck for both of us. The cards say we will be lovers.
It's impossible. Forbidden for me. Now you must go.
But you do believe. I mean, really believe in the cards.
They have never lied to me.
Then they won't now. Pick one.
The Ultimate Journey.
Episode 54. Hi, and welcome to the Ultimate Journey Awakening the Spirit podcast. I'm your host, Frank DeGenova. Today's episode is called Tarot Revisited, the Ultimate Journey Through the Deck. As stated before, the Ultimate Journey can mean anything to you or to anyone. It is the soul's journey into our incarnating into our lives, into the human flesh. It could be the journey around the sun. It could be our internal journey. It could be taking a trip overseas or going on a picnic, as long as it's ultimate in every way and in all ways, always and in all ways. Today's episode is a complement to episode 51. In that episode, I talked about the tarot deck and playing cards and all that. So this is a little bit of an upgrade to it. So let's start the tarot deck. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people, actually readers don't know this. People who read tarot don't really know the full significance of the cards. The cards are an incredible experience, a tool, a guide, a template, revealing patterns of both our past, present, and our future. And they mirror aspects of our human experience and the many stages of our spiritual development. It's really cool. It mixes astrology, numerology, all the archetypes, symbolism, religion, myth, and the elements. Earth, air, wind, and fire. Earth, air, water. See, I was thinking of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they forgot the water. And of course, the fifth element is ether. The tarot deck also represents the unconscious. Carl Jung is famous for. And each of the 22 cards of the arcana, major arcana, symbolize a different portion of the psyche. Spiritual journey from separation to wholeness, from wholeness into separation, back into wholeness, if you want to get technical about that. And the journey the traveler faces, the challenges, and it's basically built complete self-awareness and understanding about individualizing or individuation. So just to recap the actual suits of the deck, there's hearts, clubs, diamonds, and spades, like the playing cards, which is cups, wands, pentacles, and swords, which translate to cups as emotions, which represent water. Wands represent spirit or fire, and the pentacles represents body and earth, and the swords represent thought or air. So you have the four elements there. And each number of each suit has a vibrational meaning in numerology, so that's where that comes in. First, I want to start off with the court cards. These are often known as the face cards or the people cards or the royalty cards. They are the families of the tarot and their suit and rank, their personalities. So basically, it's our inner kingdom. And these are self-developmental tools and a guidance how to navigate in being in the world. I don't know if many of you know that I also teach polarity, masculine, feminine energies and communication and polarity and relationships and that. So the following two are the masculine and feminine. So you have the king and the queen. So with the king, obviously, is masculine and is mature. He's the archetypal father or grandfather figure of the suit or lineage. He is a leader, strong, assertive, and directs, and symbolizes authority, order, control, discipline, and mastery in the areas associated with this family suit. So let's say it's cups, it's water, it's emotions. He protects and defends his kingdom, or the inner kingdom of ourselves and our psyche. He can separate logic from his emotions, or head from his heart. And he balances the feminine energy of his queen. I talk a lot about this in my teachings. So then now we have the queen. She is also mature and feminine in the archetypal mother, grandmother of her suit, who embodies the qualities of her suit, but not acting out like the king does. The king's more external, more aggressive. She's just as powerful as him, and it's all equal, it's all about equal. But she can switch off the material and just be in the world like a woman enjoying the beauty of it all. But she's more subtle about it. It's about flowers, sunsets, etc. She nurtures her inner kingdom or kingdom, not by force, but by nurturing intuition and the maternal instincts, you know, associated with feelings, relationships, and self-expression. What she does do is she tempers her king's power and force and brings balance to him like he does to her. But unlike the king, she has trouble navigating from her heart to her head. She gets entangled. And I also teach that in the masculine and feminine, where the women, they get caught in the overthinking and the feeling that sometimes it gets overwhelmed. I'm doing a little plug here. Now we come to the knight. And the knight represents an immature young adult, like 22 years old, 30. The knight is still evolving and is searching until he becomes worthy of becoming king or queen. So the knight represents masculine and feminine as well. The knight is the archetypal son and daughter to the king and queen of the suit, the characteristics of the suit. They may be wild and moody and hard to express themselves in a balanced way, just like a teenager, a past teenager. They're starting to get their bearings. They may be self-indulgent or indulgent, action-based, but they basically embody the king and the queen in child form. Now we have the page, the playful child, the adolescent, the young adult, approximately about up to 22 years old, so younger than that. So basically a teenager, a young child, I think from child to teenager. They're younger archetypes from the king and queen. They act with abandon and pleasure. They're naive, sometimes can be superficial and spontaneous. Adventure and possibility, ideas, imagination, all that. They also plan, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a fireman or a princess. So they're still not really solid or grounded into their ambitions. I mean, their ambitions may flip and flop a lot. They're less cooperative and they're more defiant. So just think of all our growth when we're young, we're teenagers, when we're adults. See, when you pull the page card, anything is possible for the page. They're not patterned yet by the king and queen. They're in the shadow part of it, or the infant stage, and they may fall into the negative aspects of it. The king and queen are there, and they need to be the parental figures of that. So these basically represent us. You have the king and the queen, you have the knight, the page, and they all represent different facets of ourselves. So if you do tarot readings, take in consideration that when they pull the card, where maybe a person is somewhere in their life, when they're mature about it, or when they're just starting something new, etc. So now we got the elements out of the way, we have the numerology, and we have the face cards. Let's talk about the story and meaning of the major arcana. The tarot is a timeline. A story with the fool is the central character, and the fool is you. We are the fool. Just like the episode 46 that I did about the Son of God going through the planets, the Son of God who takes away the darkness. I think that's episode 46. So this episode ties in with 46 and 51. So let's uncover the mystery of the tarot. Zero is the fool. It's the starting point, the void, and the number of the fool, obviously. And it has no value yet, but it's full of every possibility. The present moment, the now. The fool seems naive and unafraid to face the dangerous journey in front of him or her. Their innocence allows the journey to be possible. So when we get on an adventure, we don't know. If we went on someone before, we're fearful, or we've had failures in the past, we'll be more cautious or fearful to start new things. What we don't know, we don't know. And that's sometimes a good thing. Or we wouldn't try anything in life. So let's look at the main character, the card of the main character, the fool, the womb, the zero point, the realm of all possibility, the black hole. If you notice, the fool is facing northwest, and that's the direction of the unknown. And it looks androgynous. So this is a journey for males and females. You notice the dress. And also the proud, naive, confident, and fearless. That's why the head is held up. It's slightly upheld up high. So the fool just left the spiritual realm full of piss and vinegar. It's like when you come back and you reincarnate, you just start again. You're wiped out of your memories and you're just coming. We're going to take on this. Yeah, I'm on the other side. I can do this. I'll come back. And then we get here. We're like, what the hell do we do? I want to go back. You'll notice that there's a sack on the black wand. And it's a small one. So it only holds the little belongings, just important items for the journey. There's no burdens yet. And then the black wand represents the karmic, the unconscious. It's also seen in the Six of Swords and the Seven of Pentacles, I believe. Don't quote me on that. And you'll see the sages on the cliff's edge, the unknown, you know, the pitfalls of life. The fool does not know what it's up against. And then you have the mountains in the background, the ups and downs of life, and it's the highest to the heavens or the origin where the soul came incarnated back. Then you see the clear skies in the background. It's like a blank slate. And then the sun, remember the allegory of us going through the planets like Jesus, the Son of God. And the rising sun in the card depicts the start of a new journey. You'll notice the fool holding a white flower or white rose. This is represents the purity, the innocence, the clarity. And it makes me think of The Matrix. Follow the white rabbit. That comes to mind. But it's the white rose or the white flower, the purity. But go inside the hole, you never get out. And then beside the fool is the white dog. So I see there's a messenger, a friend by his side, a loyal, perhaps spirit guides. And some people believe that it's the dominion over nature, that we've conquered nature, but I don't believe that at all. Then you see the red feather, passion for life and all that. So there's a lot of symbology just in one card. We can dissect each card so detailed, but then it's like, you know, that's a whole nother pursuit to do that. Okay, let's get on with the cards. So on our spiritual journey, before we incarnate into this physical realm, we face our energetic masculine and feminine polarities, the non-physical. And this is where their magician and the priestess come in. And you notice on their card numbers, there's 1 and 2. So the magician represents the masculine energy to thrust or project into the world to experience. It represents determination and willpower. And the priestess is holding and protecting the secrets and hidden inner knowledge, the mysterious feminine energy, the intuition, and she's waiting in Solomon's temple. So after converging your inner masculine feminine aspects, you, the fool, incarnate into the physical and meet their physical incarnations. Or better yet, your parents, your loving mother who gives and nurtures to you, and your father who's authoritative, creating the boundaries and foundations in the external world, and the protector who creates the container for the feminine and the softness of the mother, and they impart their knowledge onto you, you know, creating your boundaries, security, and safety. Now, this is assuming we have balanced parents. This is like in the real world, so it's not always the case. But like the hero's journey, I believe covered in episode 45, it's the hero's journey. Like he has to leave the nest, like Luke Skywalker leaving home, Bilbo Baggins. They all had to leave their safety and face the world. So when you do that, you meet the Hierophant, embodying dogma and structure of all the systems, including religion and the belief systems, indoctrinations, morality. It's like the sun passing through Aries. So the Hierophant is Aries. It's the true first month of the zodiac, the head, the start of the spring, and the beginning of life, all of life. Next, the Fool meets the Lovers, or Gemini, and represents choice and the will to choose. Insert Gemini jokes here regarding their indecisiveness. Choice, how perfect. It also symbolizes lovers, partnerships, and the fool learns that they are the masters of their own fate. They choose and shape their future. So once you realize this or learn this, and remember you are the fool, you can apply it to your life and the world. And once you graduate, you meet the Chariot, which is a sign of Cancer. You now have what it takes to face life and its challenges. You have control, action, and determination. So your first major one is Strength, which is Leo. Here you learn that the mind is stronger than physical matter. It's all about courage, focused and directed energy, and it all affects matter. Energy precedes matter, so the energy condenses down and becomes the physical. So this puts the fool into contemplation mode and inward introspection. Welcome the Hermit, Virgo, removed from the distraction of the world. So it's like meditation, enlightenment. You begin to see life as a game, or maybe not. And then when this is attained, in comes the Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune. Hey, Vanna, can I buy another vowel? Or do I have to ask Pat Sajak for that? The Wheel of Fortune card shows that life is full of plot twists, riddles and puzzles, fate, destiny and choice. And of course, karma, the yo-yo and seesaw of life, the wild ride, down the crazy life. So careful of what you do and decide, because sooner or later, the judge will judge you. And along comes the justice card, which is Libra, who weighs all your decisions and actions. Hopefully you get a fair trial. But as with any good lawyer, black and white can be many shades of gray. And this is where you get the hangman. So you see, the hangman has different perspectives. It's seen as upside down. He's waiting and reflecting. Not much like the hermit, but still reflecting. This challenges all your beliefs that you've learned so far. And then you have to ask, are they your beliefs or the ones you've taken on by others? Are you living your life or the script from others? Then along comes the death card in sequence, which is Scorpio. And this is to free you of all these falsehoods that you've taken in. Maybe beliefs that don't longer serve you, or just lies anyway. It's what you've learned from your parents and society. Namely, you're the emperor, the empress, and the hierophant. And even your early beliefs. This is a time of big transformation and transitions. So now you get the temperance card, which is Sagittarius. Deep spiritual understanding. You're more balanced here and not getting caught up in either extreme. There's more of a middle road, a balance, a moderation, cooperation, solutions. But there's always a shadow or hidden aspects of ourselves that we ignore that is needing to be exposed or revealed in revelation. And here's where the devil card or Capricorn manifests. This is where the breaking of illusions and all the urges of the unconscious reveal themselves. Sometimes as our attachments and addictions, material focus, we're in bondage. We have, as I said, addictions, depression, betrayals, and negative thinking. This is where the psyche exposes itself and everything crumbles as it's released by the Tower card, which gives way to growth and renewal. It also comes a lot of change. So you can see that with the card, there's a lightning striking and it's just crumbling. So everything's crumbling down. This happens a lot in our stage of our life when we do spiritual awakening, that what we thought was true, just everything collapses. All the illusion breaks down and then we're like, wow, the ego is dead or it's dying. But, you know, it gives way to growth and renewal, and also comes change and loss. Now we come up to the Star card, which is Aquarius, the most magical card filled with opportunities and help from the heavens. There's hope, renewal, and healing. So then after the Aquarius, there's the Moon card, which is Pisces, the psychic. And it symbolizes that even light has its shadow side and reminds the fool that there are things also more mysterious and uncontrollable. You know, there's fear, anxiety, confusion, and more delusion and risk. So you see, as the fool passes through all the astrological sign, it's going on a journey, but it's also facets of our journey and what happens in order, which is totally amazing. When you actually put the cards down, you get from zero and you do them sequentially, you can see that everything fits together and how I'm the order that I'm doing it too. It's pretty wild. Here comes the sun, da-na-na-na. It's to shine the light on all that. So the fool's journey is coming to an end, the dawning of a new age. He's on the horse riding off into the sunset, into a new land, into the clouds. And then we have the card of Day of Judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pig's crawling. Yeah, that's Ozzy and Black Sabbath. I had to sneak it in there. So it's the judgment card, where we have to deal with all the things unsaid and all the unresolved. And it's a reflection. It's an awakening and rebirth. It's ending this life and going into a new world. And coincidentally, the next card is the new world card. A new life awaits, another journey through the cards to be reincarnated into life, another cycle for fulfillment and harmony. So it's all astrology, it's all archetypes. And another Ozzy quote is over the mountain, don't need no astrology, it's inside of you and me. You can tell I'm a fan of Ozzy, right? But it's all there. I mean, in TVs and movies and songs, they're telling us what's going on. Astrology is inside us. It is us. So getting back to the deck, once we pass all the cards, we basically, when something happens between lives, who knows what, even if some people don't believe in reincarnation, but we start again. The fool starts again through the deck, just like the astrology of the sun, the greatest story ever told. It goes back again and again and again and again until we get out of this box, this cube, this matrix. We are given tools, divination tools, stories, myths, all to navigate through this and to finally break ourselves free from the bondage, from the matrix of it all. So I hope you see the tarot cards in a different light now, more with more profound awareness. And then you'll start seeing this story or this pattern, this template everywhere. It's so subtle, but once you see it, it is so obvious. I always thought the deck was evil, tarot was evil, these cards. So, I mean, I have different ideas on what it is and how it's been used and how it's been manipulated. But, well, you know, I've never really understood the cards until recently when I did the podcast on it, but more so afterwards when I used the elements in numerology, because I know the elements, I don't know, earth, air, and fire from the beginning of the podcast. Once I understand the elements and what they do, what they represent, and then also bringing in numerology, the cards came to life for me. They just woke up. I'm like, and I don't use them often at all. Like, it fascinates me. And then when I came across this whole journey thing, it just blew my mind open. And then it just kind of like interweaved all the podcasts that I've done thus far. This is the 54th one. And there's just another piece of the puzzle. I will probably revisit this tarot again, maybe get into the numerology and other aspects of it. But for now, I'm learning, and as I learn, I share. That's who I am. I want to just spread the word and just provoke some thought. You don't have to believe anything I say with these podcasts at all. They're just designed to get you start thinking and get outside of the box. If you remember listening to the intro of this podcast, I used a James Bond movie, Live and Let Die. It was a scene where the woman walks into a room and James Bond has his tarot cards. And he says, well, if you want to re-listen to it, but the thing is, he had all the same cards. It was a lover's card. So he seduced her with a tarot. Cards can be misread. It could be used for nefarious reasons and whatnot. So be as it may, believe what you want with the cards or not. I think they're a great tool. I suggest you connect with a good source and you clear the cards or use anything. I personally don't use cards myself. I'm just very interested in the tarot. I used to be into the cards. I had a whole bunch of them and then I just gave them away. Just didn't feel right. I trust my own intuition. But again, they're tools and they could be very, very useful and very powerful. All right, so that is the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me on the Ultimate Journey Awakening the Spirit podcast. Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Journey Awakening to Spirit podcast. Join me again next time for more spiritual talk. You can reach me at info@theultimatejourneyawakeningtospirit.com. And you can also visit my website, theultimatejourneyawakeningtospirit.com. Until next time, walk in love and in gratitude.